It's Colin Neal from Hospitality Ulster. Colin, good morning.
Good morning, Frank. How are you?
I'm very well, Colin. Colin, I'm just thinking, you know, before we go to, because I want to talk to you about the blossoming industry that is the hospitality trade here. This Irish stew is now in the top 50 foods in the world, according to Lonely Planet. Would you put red wine in Irish stew? Would you put garlic in Irish stew?
I wouldn't go the garlic there. We splash a red wine to give it a nice wee bite, but I'm afraid I grew up in the countryside, so garlic was something that fancy people did. I'm a country boy, but we'd rather we drop a wine, or indeed we drop a Guinness to it.
Yeah, this is what I was going to say. You'd probably be in favour of the Guinness. A lot of people on the text are saying that you can put a little drop of Guinness in it, or you should certainly be eating it with Guinness alongside it, that they perfectly complement each other.
There's nothing better than a bowl of stew, indeed a pint of Guinness or a nice pint of beer, and some people to eat it with and drink with.
Yeah, and yet and all, we don't really order it when we go out because we see it as being something that your mummy makes for you as opposed to what you impress your new girlfriend with.
Well, I suppose that's true, man, but it is that sort of thing of the joy about a bowl of stew is most people can make it. So you can actually eat it at home. So I suppose when we go out, we look for something different. Where when we get tourists and stuff coming along, it's one of our local delicacies.
Yeah, they'll order it. There's no doubt about that. You can't come to this part of the world without at least having one bowl of it. And there'll be plenty of opportunities to eat it, I would imagine, in hotels the length and breadth of the land, Colin, because that's the reason we're speaking to you this morning. Is there any end to the number of hotels they're going to build in this part of the world?
Okay, I mean, I do think we'll see a bit of a slowing down again on our rate of expansion. I mean, I think the underlying trend is actually, I mean, there has been considerable growth in the last few years. You've got to build for, one, the people are starting to come, but also, you know, for the future as well. And I think we're at that balancing point. But the good news is tourism is actually climbing really steadily. We're still a long way to go to reach our full potential. We're still only 5.2% of GDP. Republic of Ireland and Great Britain's over 10%. So look at the opportunity. Huge.
This idea of the Crumlin Road Courthouse getting the go-ahead, that has to be good for the area to get rid of that eyesore, doesn't it?
Absolutely. I mean, it will help the Crumlin Road area. Helps to take tourism further out of Belfast and the city centre, because that's one of the challenges we'll have, is making sure tourism spreads right across the province into your towns and villages, and everybody, one, sees a benefit, but also gets to show off what we have. And indeed, the courthouse, sad to say, is in a poor state, but the artist's impressions of what it'll look like are fantastic.
And what about George Best? Because it's the same owner, actually, who's involved in the same developer who's involved in the project. You know, the George Best Hotel, not that far away from opening as well. Is there a novelty value with that, or can it sustain its appeal?
I mean, I mean, it's Lawrence Kenwright has both these properties and plans for some others, and there is an appeal. I mean, the George Best brand, you only have to look to the airport that carried it, indeed, to honour him. But it's a very rememberable name, and I know the George Best will have some artefacts that will sort of add to the historic value, and all of that adds to the great offer, because we've seen other local developers, well-known ones like Hart Hastings, Bill Wellesley, developing new hotels and stuff. And all of that adds to the mix. We need an offer now that is international. And lots of people want different things. No longer do they just want the standard offer. You know, what appeals to me may not appeal to you, and it's great to have that mix.
We're talking, of course, mainly about Belfast here, but the hotels are blossoming. The coastal hotels, the provision of services for the Gulf that's forever coming here. Now the fabulous hotels we have down in Fermanagh, the hotels and motels that we have in Fermanagh, especially for those who like to go fishing. The standard in Northern Ireland is a high standard.
It really is, and that's borne out right across, actually not just even our hotels, our pubs, our restaurant, you know, the quality of our food. I mean, we're doing it right, and that's why people are coming. You know, the product is right. You can come in and you don't just come and be a spectator in Northern Ireland. I mean, tourism has changed, and we hear this word now, experiential, all over the place. Retail are now suffering from it. Tourism is a key element of that experience. And we don't forget, a key part of that is the people here, and that's one of our key things. We are a welcoming people. And I think to the point too where tourists, you know, it's still fairly newfangled, so we even were curious about the tourists.
I have to say, each morning where I park, I get out of the car, I walk along an alleyway, I turn a corner and I'm at the front of a well-known hotel. And every morning there are two buses, sometimes three buses. I'm talking about coaches, luxury coaches. And the Americans, they seem to be Americans going by the accent, it could be Canadians, but they're certainly people from out of state, as they say. And it's coming down with primarily elderly people, people who are north of me in terms of age, spending their pension and holidaying here in Belfast. I see a new bunch or a new fresh three busloads every single morning. Has that been replicated at hotels generally?
I mean, it is now. At the moment, we have to be realistic. That level of tourism hasn't reached all the parts of the province, and there are parts of the province will have more to offer a tourist than others. But we are seeing it very key, Belfast, Causeway Coast into Derry / Londonderry, Fermanagh. And then, there's huge opportunities to build that on across the province. And I think the key thing to remember in Northern Ireland, we've got a really good mix of products. So yes, as you say, the hotel where you park close by may have a target market that is more the elder or the older person, but there'll other then products that will target the young people. Indeed, just up from my office, there's a very modern hostel. And if I think back to the hostel, I was out backpacking, it was rough and ready. Now the hostel is really, really professional and sharp. So we actually do have a fantastic product. We probably don't realise it ourselves. But when people come here, I endlessly hear when I speak to tourists and visitors and stuff, we've exceeded their expectations. And that's really key.
Yeah, let's hear it for the hospitality trade this morning. Let's hear it for them. If you've praise, we'd like to broadcast it on the radio. But indeed, if you've a question or maybe an experience that isn't so positive, we'll let you have a shout as well. 0289033105. Colin, before you go, I need to ask you a question, because up on a text in front of me, there's apparently a texter saying, you can beat Irish stew any day with Dublin coddle. What is Dublin coddle?
I've never heard of it, and that just says it all.
Dublin, C-O-D-D-L-E, Dublin coddle. I'm not prepared.
Frank, the test of that is walk into an Irish pub anywhere in the world, and it shows you how popular they are. They're everywhere. And ask them for Irish stew or Dublin coddle. I bet you what one you'll get.
True, they'll all know Irish stew, but I'd love to know what Dublin coddle is. Hey, give us a ring, whoever you are. Better still, if someone else knows what Dublin coddle is, 02890 333 105. The best way to make Irish stew, feel free.
Looking for a